Our gospel reading today comes from the Gospel of Matthew in the 14th chapter, beginning the 22nd verse. Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened and began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me!" Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the gospel of our Lord. Well, good morning again, LCR. Here we are still in the Gospel of Matthew. Pastor Karen walked us through that very famous story of Jesus feeding those thousands of people with only a few items, and that generosity and what we do in scarcity. It was just this wonderful message that pushes us into this next story, one that I think might be equally famous if you're familiar with some of these church stories, Jesus walking on water. You know, if we could actually gather together, I think it would have been fun to have a kiddie pool up here and invite you to see how much faith that you actually have. You know, you could give it like the old Christian try. We could get a line going, and if you had enough faith, you could just walk on the water right across that kiddie pool. And maybe that sounds a bit ridiculous, but that's how I've always heard this story preached. Like, you know, like as a Christian, you're this little engine that could, and if you try super duper hard, you can do it. As a matter of fact, I want to give you a 1 minute version of that sermon, the sermon that I've heard before, but I don't want to preach it. I don't have the stomach to preach it to you. It might sound familiar. So listen, the disciples are in a little boat battered by the waves. They see Jesus walking toward them. And for a moment, Peter is a hero. He steps out of the boat and he has sufficient faith to walk on water. He actually does it. Peter musters up what it takes to be God-like, and what it takes is faith. Lots and lots of faith, because with enough faith, you can walk on water all the way to Jesus. If you had enough faith, you could do it too. And maybe even better than Peter, because Peter's only mistake was that he took his eyes off of Jesus, and that's why he sunk. So the moral of the story, and of course, every Bible story is about how to be moral. So the how to be moral of the story is that if you in your life are not godlike in your ability to financially prosper or overcome all your failings as a human or defy the forces of nature and walk on water, then the problem is that you simply don't have enough faith, and you should really muster up some more, because the thing is, it's all up to you to make your way to Jesus. So don't be afraid. Get out of the boat, but be better at it than St. Peter, and don't take your eyes off of Jesus. You can do it if you really try. End of sermon, and good luck with that. Has anybody ever talked to you like that about faith? Yet I know that having a preacher tell me that the solution to my problems is to just try and have more faith and everything will work out never, ever, ever sounds like good news to me. Yet Jesus brings us good news. And the weird thing is, here we all are gathered together virtually around the story of the man who walks on water. And perhaps some of you are new to the story of Christianity. And for some of you, the story of Christianity, the church, it formed who you are from the cradle. And I could be wrong, but I think maybe we aren't all together today because some preacher or somebody just said, "Look, to be a Christian, you just got to believe that everything's going to be great and not worry about anything else. Have more faith." I think we are here because at some point we heard the story, a story. And maybe church language wasn't even in it. Maybe it was just a story of redemption, a story of forgiveness or grace or love. Some story, and that story claimed us. At some point, someone told you the story about this God, or perhaps they lived it out in front of you. This God who created the universe, who spoke through prophets, who came to us in Jesus, who ate with sinners, who scoffed at the powerful, who suffered and died and rose again and calls us out of our own graves every single day to new life. And here's the thing about stories. Listen, they tell us who we are. Sometimes a story can tell you so much, So much. The Bible does this more than any other story can. It invites you into these stories over and over again, just like this one today. And so I believe this particular story of Jesus walking on water, it can be reduced to a simple moralistic tale about having enough faith and everything will be fine. But what if it's something else? What if, like so much of the Bible, this story can also be a way to see who we are and to see who God is in us? I want you to take a minute, and I really do, and I know I do this sometimes in sermons, and I don't know if you're at home in your PJs with your feet up and sipping coffee and rolling your eyes every time I do this, but I want you to take a moment and breathe. And I want you to take a minute and see if you can recognize yourself in this story. Because maybe some of us are like the ones in the boat. Remember, there's a number of characters here, not just Peter and Jesus. Maybe some of us are like the ones in the boat who are afraid. Maybe you're so caught up in the fear of making the wrong decision that you can't make any decision at all. You can't even move. Or maybe you're like the one experiencing the thrill of stepping into the unknown. Whatever that is, water that you should sink in. Or perhaps it's a new relationship or a new job or you've just moved to Racine and leaving behind the familiar. This is a new community you're trying to live into. Or maybe in the midst of all that is taking place in our life right now, there's all sorts of new things you're forced to try or forced to move away from. And those first steps are okay, but then it gets scary, right? Or maybe you are the person next to you or the one who is sinking, right? Sinking in all sorts of things, sinking in debt or depression, or maybe you feel like you're sinking because what you could handle last month, what you could at least lift up last month, you can barely look at this month because it's dragging you down and down and down. Or maybe you're the one who knows you're doomed, knows that all your own efforts have failed and you are crying out to God like Peter, "Save me, Lord, save me." And you're the one who Jesus has reached down to catch and you're clinging on to the sweet hand of Jesus with all you've got. Or maybe you're the one in the boat looking on in wonder at all that's taking place in front of you. You're the one who bears witness. You get to bear witness to the miracle and danger of it all and how the hand of God reaches down and pulls us up. And you see it and you can't help but say, like the disciples in the boat, "Truly, this is a God moment." At some point or another, I know I have been all of the above, and I think you probably have been too. Yet a lot of what I've heard in the church, both with this story and with so many others, is not who I am, but who I should be. I should be the one with enough faith to walk on water. I should be the one whose eyes are always on Jesus. I should be the one who makes my way to Jesus. But all these characters in the walking on water story, the cautious ones in the boat, the brave one who walked for a time on water, the same one who was afraid and sinks and calls for help, and the ones who saw it all and confessed that Jesus is the Son of God, they are all actually equal in their relationship to God because of one fact that this story so glaringly shouts at us, yet we fail to see. All of these and you have one thing in common. They are those whom Jesus is always drawing near to. In any part of the story, it's not so much about us seeking out Jesus. It's that Jesus is always coming near. Always coming near. Jesus draws near to Peter and the disciples and says, "It is I, do not be afraid." The glamorous part of this story is that Peter walked on water, which I've got to be completely honest with you. That's really, really cool. but he didn't get there all the way, right? He almost had enough faith to make his way. But what happens on either side of this short little water walk? Jesus comes toward him. The entire time, Jesus never stops moving towards Peter, moving towards the boat. In the storm, Jesus is walking towards the boat, and when Peter sinks, Jesus is reaching toward Peter, and then he comes so much toward them all that he finally just gets in the darn boat. That's about as with them as you can be, right? Yet we seem to always focus on Peter walking on water, which again is really cool. But when you look at this whole story, I believe it is about how much Jesus cares for creation, how much Jesus cares for the church, that he is always walking towards us, reaching towards us. And then in this story, even gets in the boat with them, gets in the boat with us. We might see the moral of the story is you should have so much faith that you can walk on water toward Jesus. But I believe the truth of this story is that Jesus, listen, is always walking towards us. The truth of this story is that my abundance of faith or my lack of faith does not deter God from always drawing near every moment, every day. The truth of this story is that even if you are scared to death, you can say, "Lord, save me," and the hand of God will reach down even in the darkest waters, because this is a story not of morals, but of movement, not of heroes of the faith making their way to Christ, but of Christ drawing near in the midst of fear. In the book of Romans, it says the word of God is near to you in your hearts and in your lips. And for us, for today, I would say the word of God that was made flesh and dwelt among us in Jesus the Christ is drawing near to you today. It is so easy to have that obscured. It is so easy for that belief to be challenged, and it's so easy for our faith to waver. But I'm promising you that the darkest moments of your life, you are not alone or abandoned. And the church plays an active role in this too, because we are called to draw near to each other, to lift each other up. He walks towards you saying, "It is I, do not be afraid." And God reaches down and lifts us up. The Apostle Paul wrote, "Everyone who calls in the name of the Lord shall be saved." I wonder if we believe that. And I think sometimes we put that into a box and we say, if I call upon the name of the Lord in this crappy situation, God's going to fix that situation. But that's not ever how the story of faith works. You see, the attitude of our heart, the expressions of our lips, the things that we do and say, they are all part of this kingdom of heaven that we are called to create here. And how we respond to those events will be entirely correlated to the way we understand God responding to our lives in the world. Meaning, if we respond in fear always, then we believe that God is not with us. Yet if we live in fear, but acknowledge that fear and that God's presence is available to us, we can begin to climb out of it because we have a God who's lifting us up. We have a God who sees us scared in the boat and sits with us. We have a God who says, "Come towards me, but know that I'm always coming towards you." So I challenge you today to lay claim to your story. And know, please know that you too have been sent to tell the story of who you are and who God is. And tell the story of God so that you and others might call upon the Lord to be saved, to save you. That's what we're called to do as the church. In so many different ways. We are called to go out into the world, into a loveless and joyless world, and to bring it love and to bring it joy. And as our God is constantly drawing near and going out before us, we are called to do the same. Do you understand? There are people in your life right now who are terrified of the deep water. And we're called to reach down as the hands and feet of Christ and lift them up. Do not be afraid. Share your story. It's how the whole journey of faith began. Sharing stories, stories of our God, the Creator, stories of our resurrected Christ, stories of the church triumphant in faith, the story of your faith life, the story of God's presence in your life is a story you should be screaming to the world. For others need to hear your story because your story is beautiful and it matters. And God is with you as you tell that story. Amen.